reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. And in the Bible, it's on page 77. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Amen.
For inviting me. Church, welcome to our service this morning. And I'm delighted to be in front of you and to bring the word of God to you. That reading, I think we once did it some other time. But you know, surprisingly, some of these texts, you have heard them several times in your life. But the sermon has been preached in a different way. So I'll do likewise also today. I remember I preached it some other time, but today I bring it in a different version. Is that all right? If it's permissible, I'll do it. All right. Today, my theme is, your MOT is you. Amen. What's an MOT? Do you know? Your MOT is you. You agree with me? Those of you who drive, they know after a year, you usually receive reminders. Bing! It's either on your phone or your email. Your MOT is due, or your insurance is about to expire. So I've got two spanners here in my hands. Those of you with cars, they actually know what's the use of these two pieces of metal. Some people use them for fixing their bicycles. But today I'm not talking about fixing bicycles. I'm talking about fixing cars. Right? So, the word MOT, what does it mean? What does it stand for? I was so inquisitive, so I googled. I went on the internet and found out. I'm not going to ask answers from you. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'll give you the answer anyway. I'm so generous. MOT stands for Ministry of Transport. Though that ministry has gone defunct in 1970, but the word still remains in use today. And it's very common on our tongues. MOT, MOT. Those without cars, it's actually to invite you to bring your car to be tested. To see that it's roadworthy. If it's not, it fails the test. And then when it has failed the test, they will ask you to redo it again. Today, the story that we are going through. Last week, we did the story of the Israelites when God rained bread and when Moses hit that rock and water came out. But before that happened, they were grumbling. They were saying to Moses, "Oh, you fella, you should have left us in Egypt where we were eating meat, cucumbers, and all that stuff." They forgot the suffering that they were going through. They were grumbling. So God knows what's in our hearts anyway. Their grumblings, and even those who didn't say their word, God knew about it. And what does God do? He invites Moses. As I was researching for this sermon, in one of the commentaries, I discovered one word which said God was addressing the children of Israel through Moses. Amen? So I'm also going to address you on behalf of Moses, on behalf of God. And I will say, your MOT is due. Amen? So, in chapter 20, verse 3, I can just imagine, during the biblical times, people didn't have cars, didn't have aeroplanes. I can just imagine the best mode of transport was R2. You agree with me? But there were horses as well. I don't know about camels. Donkeys, yes. Because if we read the time of Jesus, he rode on a donkey. Mary, she rode on a donkey. What about horses? If you read the story of the Egyptians when they were following the Israelites, the chariots were towed by horses. Amen? But I want to bring the children of Israel. They were walking on that day. Imagine with the blisters on their feet and they are tired of walking. They've run out of food. They've got no water and God has provided. Maybe coming from the grumblings that they were having, God is addressing something within this community. Hear what he says. His first address, he says to Moses, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. May there be no other God besides me. I am a jealous God." So what about you today? Are you sure this jealous God is the only God in capital letter G whom you worship? Not the small letter G. Sometimes we want to look around us and see what's happening. I want to bring this reading from Ruth Haley Batten in her book, Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership. She says that we need to pay attention to all things burning in and around us to keep us in touch with what is truest about God, ourselves, and our world, so that we can hear God calling us by name again. The practice of praying, paying attention, awakens us to what is extraordinary in the midst of ordinary things. You can just imagine on that day, on that burning bush, Moses was in his comfort zone. He thought, "Well, I'm heading my father-in-law's sheep here. Nothing to disturb me." He was in his comfort zone. Sometimes we need to move out of our comfort zone and trying to find out what's happening around me. Moses was inquisitive when he saw the burning bush. And he wanted to find out, why is it not burning? What about us? Are we also that inquisitive when we see a burning bush? Are we prepared to move out of our comfort zone? And remember that God is saying, "I am the only God whom you should worship." God was reminding the Israelites. Maybe they were getting carried away now by complaining or not even worshiping God. He said, "Well, I'm out of Egypt." Forget about your God, Moses. God is saying in his first address, "You shall have no other gods before me." If this God is the God that we worship and listen to what he's saying, "You shall have no other gods before me." Do you listen to him? Do you obey what he says? Jenia was telling the children earlier on to obey. What about us? God says, "Love your neighbor." Who is your neighbor? How do you live with your neighbors? How do you relate with your workmates at work? How do you relate with your congregants here? "You shall have no other gods before me." The God that I worship is a God who loves us all. Amen? Amen. When last did you last speak to someone who sits in that back corner here in church? When last did you last speak to this person sitting here in church? or when it's after church, cup of tea, boom. God is a God of love. You shall have no other gods before me. If he is a God of love, in his address, he says, let's love one another. Amen? If you are not obeying what God is telling you to do, I want to remind you, your MOT is you. In his second address, God continues to address his people, the chosen nation of Israel. You shall make for yourselves an idol. Idols come in different ways. Our young people today, they will prefer to idolize celebrities than idolizing God. Am I right? Yes. You find them giving themselves the name of a celebrity. I remember when I gave my son the name Keegan, I was actually idolizing Kevin Keegan those days when he used to play for Liverpool. I used to support Liverpool by those days. But this is what is the young people are doing today. Instead of idolizing God, they're idolizing celebrities or other leaders in society whom they have seen. But God is saying, you shall not make for yourself an idol. Wow, wow. Maybe amongst the Israelites, remember when they came out of Egypt, there were also foreigners amongst them who were used to idol worshipping. Maybe they've gone back to their worship. But I think there's an old English which says, experience is the best teacher. I can imagine they were doing it. And God says, you shall not do it. Wow. Luke's gospel, he says this, chapter 16, verse 13. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. Idols can also come in the form of money. I know we all need money to survive. But if it is becoming our cornerstone in our life, that money is bad now. We don't need it. I would rather be concentrating on my God and him only, and be ready to worship him. And this is why I'm here. I'm here to worship God. I don't know about you. Jesus Christ, on that day when he met the Samaritan woman at the well, he told her that God is looking for people who worship him in truth and spirit. Now, if you are worshiping idols, my brother, my sister, your MOT is you. As God continues with his address to the Israelites, he brings something which is very common. Maybe they had inherited from the people around them. Even us also today here, we are used to do this. Address number three, which becomes commandment number three. You shall not misuse the name of your God. Oh boy. How many times do we swear with God's name? Even yesterday I was watching Sainsbury's advert on television. The word God came up. Oh God. Oh God. And there's also the presenter, James Corden, in his program. He's doing an American program now called Cowpool Karaoke. The amount of times he calls God's word in his narration there. So as I was watching, I said, that is calling God's name in vain. The Israelites said, we are not supposed to do this. And they did it. Why are we doing it? Calling God's name in vain. Another warning also is coming from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 verse 34 to 37. It says this. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And not to swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair gray or white. All you need to say is simple yes or no. Anything beyond this becomes for the evil one. So my brothers and sisters, if you want to say to someone, just say the answer is yes or no. Don't call the name of God, or to say, I swear with my hair. The Bible says you cannot even make it gray or white. So don't. Just say yes or no. If you start swearing by God's name, I want to say to you again, your MOT is you. You need to see the mechanic. Address number four. God says to the Egyptians, I've brought you out of Egypt. I am your God. So you shall have no other gods besides me. So, if God is concerned about the well-being of the Israelites, what about us? He's also concerned about our well-being. He wants us to rest. Not overworking. I want to give you an example of myself. I used to work at the hospital those years. Some of you who know or who knew, I had several jobs. And I really struggled those years. I had no rest within myself, for myself. One other day, I remember I was waiting for my wife to come and pick me. Those of you who know Basildon Hospital, where the bus shed is now, I was sitting on the bench there waiting for Jania to come and pick me. And before I realized, I fell asleep on that bench in that public place because my body was worn out. Every minute I can sit down, I fell asleep. I even remember one day here I was sitting at the back there in church. Jania used to always say, because I was always dozing in the church. So one day I said to Jania, if you keep on nudging me, I'm not coming to church anymore. So this is why God has set the day, the Sabbath day, for us to rest. He's concerned about our well-beings. He wants you to rest. Even himself in the creation of the world. He created the world in 7 days, 6 days. On the seventh day, what did he do? He rested. He rested. He was setting an example for us as well. He's now reminding the children of Israel. You remember when I created the world? On this day I rested. Why can't you rest? There's nothing wrong to have several jobs. But remember the Sabbath. And for yourself as well, remember to rest. Because this body is the temple of the living God. Amen? The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now if you are so tired and when you come to church you sit there, you fall asleep, how is the Holy Spirit going to be thriving in you? So God says, that day must be kept holy. Wow, 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 wow. As he continues with his address, now address number 5 becomes rule number 5. Commandment number 5. Honor your father and mother. Amen. Children in the house, honor your father and mother. I remember the other time I preached again about this. We need to honor our parents. When they now need our help, we need to give help to them. The Bible says, anyone who doesn't honor his parents is worth of death. Wow. Really? I also looked in the one of the commentaries. The scholars say, according to Hebrews, the word honor can be said to be glorify. So we must glorify our parents because they are on this earth on God's mandate. Yes? So parents, both mother and father, have a mandate from God. They are stewards to produce children and nurture them in God's way. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, bring the children the way they should go. They will never depart from that way. Right? So parents, if you are sitting here this morning, your mandate is to nurture children according to God's will. If you are not doing that, your MOT is due. Amen? So, as we also continue, Paul also gives the instruction that this is the only commandment with a promise. If you honor your mother and parents, the Lord will give you more time on this earth. That is the only commandment with a promise, according to Paul. So don't you want to live longer? Young people in here, you don't want to live longer? So honor your mother and father. Glorify them because they are here on God's mandate. They've been given a mandate to look after you. That leads us to address number 6, which is commandment number 6. God tells Moses that the importance of human life is very important before him. No one shall kill. No one shall kill. Sometimes we've had an argument that if there is a job being offered as an execution man, what do you do if you're a Christian? Well, I don't want to go into that debate. I will stick to the Bible. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. So according to me, with my God, with the scripture, I shall not kill. Only God. has got the mandate to take and give life. All right? That leads us to address number 7 as God continues. Please allow me to bunch these ones together, 7, 8, and 9, because they all relate to us. Amen? The next one, it says, you shall not commit adultery. Wow. 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 In a nutshell, when one commits adultery, that is breaking the covenant of marriage. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 22 says, if a man is caught sleeping with another man's wife, both should be put to death. God's intention on sexual relationships are that it is for married people and must be honored. The matrimonial bed must be honored. You remember on my sermon when I was preaching to Chris and Lisa's wedding, I said Hebrews 13 verse 4, the matrimonial bed must be respected. It mustn't be violated. Okay? And then address number 8, commandment number 8 is, you shall not steal. Who of you would like to live next door to a thief? No, I don't. If my children are stealing, I'm not pleasing. I'm not pleased. I remember when my children were growing up, I used to leave money lying around to test them if there is a sticky hands amongst them. But God blessed me. Not even one of my children attempted. Because they learned that stealing is no good. Even up today, as God was also teaching the children of Israel, He's teaching us today that we must not steal. Amen? If you are stealing, if you are committing adultery, I say, your MOT is you. You need to have your MOT done. Your vehicle needs to be repaired. No more stealing. No more committing adultery. And then, address number 9. It's about your neighbor again. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. It says, you shall not give false testimony. Any lawyers in the house this morning?
There are two
lawyers in here. All right, okay, that's fine. Lawyers, I remember I had a case sometime in Zimbabwe. I went to my lawyer and I told him my story. Fortunately enough, it wasn't murder or adultery. It was something else about the job that I used to do through the union. So I told him the story, but he said, no, Gilson, we are not going to present this story this way. We need to present it in this way. His way now, not what actually happened. And he presented his way, and I won my case. By that time, I was already living in England, and I flew back to Zimbabwe, and I won my case through a labor tribunal. But I won my case through the presentation of the lawyer, which up to now, I say, that wasn't what it was supposed to be. But he used a technicality in what they were saying, and I won my case. But lawyers are good at that. I want to remind lawyers, if they are there in the house, the Bible doesn't allow us to say, give false testimony. I know they're in a job, but well. Matthew 12, verse 36 to 37 says this, if there are lawyers in the house, even us as well. But I tell you that a man will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words, you shall be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. Amen? Again. If you are not taking heed of what God was telling Moses on that day, I remind you again, your MOT is due. Finally, God's last address is the common one. All of you, you know up Downing Street number 10, yes? Downing Street number 10 is our last address of God. He says, you shall not covet. This reminds me of Hitler. He wanted other people's countries. So I think he had this spirit of coveting in himself. And he caused a lot of death for a lot of people. So coveting is no good. When I was in New Haven, when I was about to finish college, I was church hunting. And one of the ladies in New Haven said to me, Gilson, thou shalt not covet other people's churches. So I said to her, no, come on, look here. The college said I must hunt for a church. I know I'm here as your student minister. But now, this is a mandate from the college. How do I do it? I will go to a church and look at a church. If I like to go there, then I'm not coveting. I'm actually following the rules. But she was just cracking a joke. Yes. But anyway, The final word is Jesus knows what's in your heart anyway. In John 13 verse 17, he tells Judas straight away, he said, Judas, do what you want to do. Because he knew Judas was going to betray him. But the disciples didn't know what Jesus was referring to. Jesus said to Judas, do what you want to do straight away, because he knew what was in his heart. And finally, Luke says this, Luke 12, verse 15. Jesus said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Amen. A man's life does not consist of his abundance. As I conclude, Moses brought these commandments to the Israelites. It was a free choice. Those who wanted to obey God, they obeyed. Even us today, God gives us a free choice. He doesn't force us. Are we going to listen to these commands, these addresses that were given to the children of Israel? Yes, they were given to the children of Israel, but they are also for us. When we listen to these commandments, we live in harmony with one another. Our relationships also improves, even amongst ourselves. In Proverbs 7 verse 2 says this, keep my commandments and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. If we take heed of the Ten Commandments, we shall live in peace. And all these traumas that we're experiencing in our life, they will be a thing of the past. Do you agree with me? So why can't we live according to the Ten Commandments? If you are not living according to the Ten Commandments, your MOT is you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a loving God. As the Israelites made all their mistakes, Lord, you kept on nursing them, forgiving them, guiding them. You never abandoned them, Lord. We pray also ourselves, yes, we make mistakes, Lord. There is no one who is perfect amongst us, Lord. Only Jesus Christ, your Son, is the perfect one. So, Father, we pray, and I pray on behalf of my family members here, in this church, Lord, that we all make mistakes, Father. We plead with you to keep on forgiving us. Yes, Lord, we want to live according to the Ten Commandments, but sometimes we fall short. But Lord, strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. Encourage us where we fall short. Father, thank you for today. If my MOT is due, Lord, help me to go to the right workshop to have it repaired. Father, this vehicle where your Holy Spirit lives needs to have a certificate of fitness. But Father, lead us to the right place. The right place is to be at the cross of Jesus Christ. Then we'll have the right MOT. Thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.